overcoming to conquer. 1 Peter is, Peter in his writing is speaking, as I spoke the other night, out of 1 Peter to the dispersed church. Individuals who stood the faith, who shared the testimony, who endeavored to live the life, but they scattered. And I said this, I believe, Wednesday night, that when they scattered, what they were doing is fulfilling God's will and God's plan. When they scattered to places that ordinarily they would not go, guess what they took with them? They took the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they scattered and taken the gospel of Jesus Christ, it created then the opportunity for that gospel to be preached in parts of their known environment that it would not in their period of time been able to accomplish. And Peter is writing. Now he deals in the fourth chapter, he deals with how do you manage in the suffering that you're doing, and where is the greatest battle? And he sets us up prior to his writings here. We know some facts, and that is to all of us today, that in fact, Jesus overcame death. That is stated, we know, out of the Gospels. We know that in the book of Acts, in the book of Romans, that Jesus fought a fight. As he fought that fight, we know that he overcame the enemy and the tempter. He overcame death, and he secured victory to us. So he said to the church in Acts, the second chapter, saying it to you and me, I give you the victory that I accomplished. In other words, nothing now can hold you back. Not only that, when the Pentecost came in the book of Acts, he said, I give you power, Acts 1, to be witnesses wherever it is that you go. He served an eviction notice on Satan, because Satan then, because of Christ's overcoming power, Satan lost his hold over you, over each of you, over your family. And Satan's reign is limited by God's timetable. He's no longer loose to be able to do as far as he wants to go on a timetable. God said, I now have Satan on a leash, and that's as far as he can go as it relates to time and eternity. And he says, now I'm in control. I'm at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing? Not just seated there, but it says that he is interceding. Imagine with me the next time you face a headache of a problem. You must remember, and it would be vital to know, I have a Savior who redeemed me, who's interceding for me, that no problem is new to Jesus, and nothing sneaks up on him. No pain you're ever going to face is new to God. He's aware of all of it. He's aware of how many hairs are in your head. He's aware of the number of particles of sand on the shore of every beach on this planet. He's aware of it. So he says, I want you to know that I'm interceding. And he said, I choose to sit on the throne of your heart if you let me. Think about that. If you let me sit on the throne of your heart right now in this room. We sometimes forget we are not gathered just in a sanctuary of brick and mortar and wood. We are here in the presence of Almighty God, the audience of the angels, the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is in this house right now. He knows where your mind's at. He knows where your body is at. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. And he's interceding and say, I want to rule your heart. Nothing can harm you that I am not aware of. Help me now. Every person, no matter who it is subject to him. No matter how much money, how much power, how much prestige, how much firepower. The dictator there in North Korea, I got to tell you something. My friend, he might think he's in control, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Alpha and the Omega, knows right where his boundaries are. Knows right where they are. He might believe that he rules. Peter lets us know that there is nothing that can hold you back as an individual, and we have the liberty to proceed with the command and the will of our Heavenly Father. And Peter is speaking to this church that has been dispersed, and he begins to address a part of endeavoring to help them. So he says, God's will, he shares about suffering. Being redeemed means that there will be some suffering. He shares how to respond to problems. He didn't leave you without a manual. It's this book right here, and without the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he shares this, time is short. Time is so short. I was coming down Kathleen Road yesterday, got stopped there at Griffin Baptist Church, which is right on Kathleen Road, largest crowd I've ever seen there in my whole ministry here in Lakeland. They had parked cars everywhere. Then I opened the newspaper and I noticed a man, 64 years of age. By the way, I got almost to the church. I saw the blue lights from the sheriff's deputies light up and I prayed, oh God, let me beat them. But I did not beat them. I had to stop. Sharon says, shucks. I says, well, just think of this. How many times have we been in funeral processions and pulled out and stopped traffic and we just roll by waving? So I said, we shall have patience here. Somebody say amen. I mean, what on earth are you going to do? Run around the cop cars, you know, because you become impatient? Turn around. It was too late. There are cars behind me. I didn't think of that. He knows and he understands time is short. So this man, 64 years of age, I read yesterday. Here's what the paper said about him. He died suddenly. 3 days before yesterday, he died suddenly. 64 years of age. I looked at that and I thought that man 4 days ago had no idea. He had no idea that in a matter of 4 days that he would be in the back of a hearse and they'd be sharing his coronation service. He had no idea that those cops would pull out on Kathleen Road to take him down to Bethel Cemetery down there in South Lakeland near Bethel Baptist Church. No idea. What was it? So he says, Peter's telling them for a reason, and I'm sharing with you, time is short. Say that with me. Time is short. Time is short. There must be a reason. He shares with us to value the value of our response. What doth God say to you? What is he saying to you? And how are you responding? What is the will of God in your life that God is having to drag you along to get you to cooperate rather than causing you to say, here am I, Lord, send me. So Peter says, I want you to understand that though you are under duress and though you have dispersed, I want to share with you some things, he says, that might help you to remember. What I shared with you is something that we all need to remember. Then he steps forward, okay? And he says, there is power in pain. It's kind of like my dad, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I never believed it. I still don't believe it. But when I say there's power in pain, how? What do you mean? How many has ever hit your finger with a hammer? There you go. If you haven't done it. It's the fastest way for you to suck your thumb. Power in pain. Make sense of that for me. Chapter 3, Peter talks about it. And then 1 Peter 4:1, our text for this point. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Okay? If Christ has suffered in his body, arm yourselves. Does that mean I may suffer in my body or no, have the same attitude? Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now you might think somebody's going to come up and choke you and say, you're a believer, I'm going to choke you. Do you recant your faith? That has happened. What about the poor young man that was, of course, there in areas of what was it, North Korea, and that literally came back with his brain so messed up that it's unbelievable. How is that possible? That young man went, number one, well, anyway, what he should have done and should have done or not done is irrelevant. The point is, he will never be the same. And so we find that suffering in the body, it says he's done with sin. I can turn it off over here, so don't flip it when I flip it, okay? That's an illustration for the message, just in case you're wondering. No one likes pain. But sometimes the cause of pain can be beneficial. If there is a problem you're having physically, your body will scream, and the mechanism that causes it to scream is the power of pain. You know something is wrong. My gallbladder was taken out back in the 70s, and for probably 5 years, something was wrong. Hospital at least once. So I got pain. They said, we checked out everything. I'm from here to here is a scar. We checked out everything, Reverend. You just think. So they sent a psychiatrist to my room. I'm confessing. Because they could not find it. But I knew that I was sleeping in a recliner every single night. But back then, the x-ray could not find my challenge. And he says, it's in your head. In your head. I thought, in your face. But I didn't say that. So what was the problem? I had three large gallstones embedded in my liver so they wouldn't show up on the x-rays back then. My challenge was there. We're going to do exploratory surgery. Oh, you are. I'm for that. Anything to get rid of this pain. Wow, here's what we found. I have them in a jar at home. And I never could find that psychiatrist ever again because I looked for him. The point is, pain alerts you to something. Peter talks about the suffering and the physical abuse. He declares, hey, many have been beaten. There are people today, because of their faith, that are being tortured. There are those that had been burned at the stakes, those that were imprisoned. And in our text, he's sharing, however, a different cause for pain. So just stay with me. He's stating that this pain we are experiencing, he said, is this. It's when the conflict of your spirit man hits head on with your carnal man, there is pain. But it's not automatic pain. Pain only comes because you're in a carnal body. Pain only comes when you choose to allow your spirit man to have will and have way, and your carnal man is upset about it, and it creates pain in your emotion, pain in your decision making, pain in your mind that says, wow, I don't want to give up just to follow God. Your carnal nature will fight for its way. It'll fight. And when that fight of carnal nature fighting what God wants you to do, I'm here to tell you, it is painful. And so Peter is saying that pain is a pain that is there. He said, you're experiencing a pain. Why? Because you made the right spiritual choice. When you say, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus, you make up your mind, you pick up your stakes, and you move on. The part of your body, of your mind, that Satan has desired to control and manage will cry out in pain and make it difficult for you to stand by your decision of making the right choice. So he says, you arm yourself. Why? Because he said it will be a battle. The word arm, it'll be the battle. Arm yourselves with the same attitude as Christ. What did he do? He said, I step forward and I meet the pain potential head on. Hit it head on. Means that choosing to follow Christ means death to the carnal nature. I'm going to follow Jesus. It means death to my carnal nature. Standing up for Christ means you deny your will and you want something. You want it, your carnal nature wants it, and you say in Jesus' name, that's not so. You know your carnal nature will fight that. Suffering physical pain, he says, is accepted gain. So in other words, we automatically experience the pain of our carnal mind and nature. And Jesus said, and you suffer in the flesh. 1 Peter 4, verse number 3, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. He said, you've done that, but now you have walked out of that. It states that in our past life, we became drunk as if we're breathing. Didn't matter, let's have a drink. We lived in lust, he said. You lived recklessly. You paid no attention to God and godliness. But now you say no. If you are addicted to something and you decide to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to put that addiction on the altar, no matter what it is. My friend, arm yourselves and get ready for a real battle. And the majority of the time, unless you remain in prayer, unless you stay under the presence of the Holy Spirit, it will take several times to make that decision. Hopefully before you finally win the battle. So he says, that's pain. When we say no to the carnal nature, that carnal nature will rise up in rebellion. Then Paul declares in Romans 13, verse 14, he says, rather, here's what you need to do. When you're in that battle and you're fighting, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of sinful nature. Peter steps to the plate, 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. When you discipline, that flesh pain will cry out. Peter said also, when you make that decision, that dispersed church, and you made your mind up, I'm going to walk for Jesus, I'm going to do it right. 1 Peter 4:4 says, they think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, then heap abuse on you. In other words, your friends... In other words, those that you used to carouse with, used to drink with, used to chew with, used to do whatever it is you bar hop with, whatever it is, he said, they in fact will not understand why in the world you are not living the good life. And here's what they will do. Endeavor to always try to drag you back so they will not feel the conviction of watching someone they know live the kind of life they know they should be living. Y'all with me, right? So it's what he means when he makes that statement. He says we experience the pain of saying no. It declares that we are dead to sin and truly alive in Christ. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, Message version. Since Jesus went through everything, you're going to go through and more. Learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a weaning from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue God, what God wants, instead of being tyrannized by what you want. Number two, he says, keep in mind the pain of saying no. Number two, he says, judgment is at hand. In other words, when you're going through that pain and that difficulty, he said, understand, make your decision now, because judgment of the future is at the door. The man, the funeral yesterday, 4 days ago, I don't know the man, but he was a deacon at the Griffin Baptist Church, so a respectable individual. But here's the deal. Do you think 4 or 5 days ago, had he known he'd have his coronation service on Saturday, that he, no matter how good he was, would have made a few tweaks in his life? We all have areas that we say, boy, I can do better. We all have areas if we say judgment is coming by Wednesday of this coming week, you'd say, I'll tell you what, boss man, I'm not going to be at work. I've got a few things that I need to settle. I need to get right. So he says, always remember that judgment is at hand. And I'm not necessarily talking about the fire of God coming down. 1 Peter 4:5, but they will have to give accounts to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. They will. First, he says, there is a window of time. We can rejoice. There's a window of time. The rapture is going to take place and could take place tonight. There's a window of time. And that moment for you and me who go in the rapture, the suffering will end. He said that window of time, the ridicule will end. That window of time, the abuse will stop. The war will be over. The sacrifice will no longer be demanded. The need for pain will end. He said that's when you either die or the rapture takes place. And there's a window of time of which you do not know when that's going to take place. What he's suggesting is then live like there is no tomorrow. James 5, verse 9, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged, and the judge is standing at the door. So there's a window of time. Here's the second thing. Judgment is at hand. A window of time, judgment is at hand. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that you can pray. Has your mind ever been captured with a battle that you felt God wasn't answering your prayers? So that you can pray. We've all been there. We've all been there. He says, but as you discipline, he declares what we need to be doing since we're soon going to be facing the big judgment, the judgment of Christ. He says, live according to the Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, rejoice over that. Experience those gifts. Enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Don't hide it. Don't push it aside. As it relates to that prayer language that you use in private for the Lord, he says, live according to the Holy Spirit. Live a free life. Enjoy it. The most miserable person in the world is a Christian trying to straddle the spiritual fence. More miserable, because you'll never know trying to straddle the spiritual fence what it really means to soar in the presence of Almighty God. You just won't. Live an alert life. Be sober. Wow. Live a life of prayer. That means you have to pray. Love each other as your life depends on it. Share hospitality with each other and be generous with what you have to give. And what do you have to give? Everything. Give everything. Wow. Person I met today at lunch, I just called a quick order in at a restaurant, ran in and got it and went home. And so when I got home, it's members of the church here, there, and their son was with them. And I said, how are you doing? He said, we're great, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He said, I'll be better when you pay for our meal. I reached in my pocket. I said, tell me how much it is. Tell me how much it is. I'd be delighted to pay for your meal. Well, you know, I was just kidding. No, tell me. He said, the reason I said that, yesterday we were at a restaurant. Is it restaurant or restaurant? Y'all help me out. Somebody Google it and let me know. He said, we were sitting there eating up a storm. How bad was it? What do you mean? I said, the storm. He said, and we went to pay our bill. And the server said, you don't owe anything. Somebody else paid your bill. Isn't that neat? He said, come to find out, it was a person that we knew that had a business, et cetera, and they just decided to pick up the tab. If you want to bless somebody, tonight is a good night to do it. Amen? Anybody over there sanctified can say amen? Thank you. My Lord, I sure didn't get one out there, I can tell you that. Because why? Because it is a window of blessing. I want you to please stay with me. To face the judgment of Christ, live according to the Spirit, life of prayer, love one another, be generous. Why? Because he says it is a window of blessing. What you see as a grind, what you see as something being taken away, what you see is having to make a sacrificial effort, and that can be painful. He says, change the way you're thinking, for when you do that, it becomes a blessing to you. And you be blessed. Peter is preparing a mighty church that believes there's power in pain. Wow. And not only that, intensity among the believers to live a blessed and courageous life. The other day I was over at the gym, and Dan and I walked over. The football team's doing their workouts, and they're just in pain. I mean, those guys were just wet in perspiration. Nah, they were wet in sweat. And I mean, it was all over them. And then they got these big weights about that big around. And I mean, the coach and the coaches are in there, whatever it is. And they had different ones take weights, or all of them take a weight like this and wanted them to hold their hand, not with their elbows to their side, but like this and just hold the weight and see how long they could hold it. And the music started. And one by one, over a period of a few minutes, they began to drop the weights. In other words, they had held the weight as long as each individual could. And they dropped out. And then they would run. And finally, it was down to two guys. This big guy, bulky guy, standing there just like that. And this shrimp standing there with the tenacity like a little chihuahua dog. Just against a big Great Dane German Shepherd. I'm thinking, this is interesting. And now they've gathered around, and they're just coaching, et cetera, et cetera. Finally, the little guy dropped the weight. I believe he didn't want to embarrass the big guy. But he dropped the weight, and no sooner, when his weight was on the way down, the big guy dropped his weight. Pow, just like that. What were they doing? So we have to build up a resistance to pain and strength. And it takes these workouts, power and intensity among the believers to live a blessed and courageous life in Jesus Christ. Peter states, 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And then finally, smiles speak volumes. He said, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. How many of you know somebody, they smile all the time? Anybody, you know somebody, it just, every time you see them, it's like, smile. And you just want to say, just once, I'd like to see you take that smile off. Amen? Just smiles. So here's the point. He says, if you suffer as Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Why you pray, praise God that you bear that name. Seems to always smile. Person seems to always have a good word. Person always seems to bring out the best. Person is always positive about life. Person seems to never give up, but continues to find, sees the best in others. And you know what? Above all that, they seem to be real. They're not just joshing you. 1 Peter 4:13 says, but rejoice that you participated in the sufferings of Christ. Got that? That you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. The Spirit of glory and God rest on you. Did you ever think about that? The Spirit of God's anointing rest on you. She says, when you think about that, he says, you can smile without faking it. to know that you have something that the devil didn't give you, and the devil can't take it away. Amen? By the grace. Come on, you want to clap? Come on, we'll clap together. Why? Because he speaks of the satisfaction of knowing Christ and says, when you suffer, you're doing it for Christ. It exalts the name of God, and the beauty is this. Christ conquered the power of Satan, and he's in control. God is in control. Say that with me. God is in control. Therefore, that control and presence is manifested in the church through you. Through you. So when you leave here tonight, you get in your car, hopefully you'll say in your heart of hearts, I'm glad I went to church. And you'll say to that carnal nature before it was time to get ready to go to church, I wonder if I ought to go tonight. I'm not super excited about going because it's Daddy Day. But you know what you did? You said, Satan, get behind me and get ready for church. And you crawled in that car, your old weary body. Some of you were napless. I didn't even get my nap. You got in the car and you got to church. And the worship started. And you began to feel a wheel within a wheel. But here's what you need to remember. When you walked in that door and you stayed, God wrote your name down and said, reward for them, because they denied their weary flesh and came on to sit in my presence. Now, my anointing is going to rest on them. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Finally, a loser looks at what he's going through. A loser looks at what he's going through, but a winner looks at where he's going. I don't know about you. I know where I'm going. To a place not made with human hands. To a place that was supernaturally inspired by the Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. To a mansion that he has designed a floor plan that fits my personality. Hallelujah. He's going to give me a great big cave room that's going to be all mine with my own chair. So here we go. A winner will smile because he understands that he is a conqueror only through Jesus Christ. Let me say to you, the only way you're going to make it is to take the hand of the man that has the nail print and say, I ain't letting go. I'm holding on until the end. Amen. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for every one of these wonderful people. We thank you for our lesson tonight in the message. We thank you for the courageous way of which your Holy Spirit has spoken to us. We thank you, Father God, because we know nothing else matters. We're going to live this life once, but life is like a vapor. It's here today. It's gone until tomorrow. Some of us may not even be here this time next week. We might be in the presence of the Lord. God, we never know, but here's one thing we do know. We receive the Word of God tonight, the Word of God that does not change, that the anointing is upon us, that God will give us the strength if we continue to trust in Him and wrap our arms around Him and not let Him go. So, Father God, I pray you'd bless every family, every person, every home. And if there is a family or if there is a single parent, if there is someone in this room tonight, God, that might be going through, it doesn't matter what it is. It isn't their problem. It's your problem. So work something out that brings to pass a great, great victory, God. And here's what we know. Every time we deny the power of darkness and tell that flesh, Satan, you get behind me and we keep marching forward, there is victory in the name of Jesus. And we declare that by the authority of your word. We thank you for this Father's Day. in Jesus' name. Just in case there might be someone online or in the house tonight, would you repeat this prayer after me, everybody? Let's repeat it together. Dear Jesus, forgive me. I have been stubborn. I've been rebellious. I haven't paid attention. But tonight, I want to humble my heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. Transform me. Redeem me. Renew my mind. And I'll give you praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you need prayer, we're going to sing this song once. If you need prayer, healing, whatever it is, or you just say, wow, I just need, God, I need you to just take and reform my mind. The devil's just tearing me up here. In Jesus' name, I want a pure, whole mind. I need you to help me, God. Help me tomorrow in the decision I have to make, a big decision. Help me have the power, the unction, to be able to face that decision and say, God, thy will be done, and just give it up to you. Whatever it is, you come right now. We're going to pray for you. Here we go, everybody.